I want to dedicate it to Bob Johnson. Bob Johnson, you know where you are. You are so crust and fresh. Everything about you is crust and fresh, Bob Johnson. I wish I could stop thinking about you. 1, 2, 3, 4!
Now on iTunes. Figure out how to find that.
Yeah.
And get back to us.
We'll likely include a link.
The link's probably already included. But not right now. This is Tristan.
Hi.
And Kevin.
Hello.
Kevin, you might discern, is on crutches right now.
That's true.
Because he's an idiot.
Well, I am an idiot, but I don't know.
Why are you on crutches, Kevin?
I was doing a pratfall for Kristen. And,
2 stories up. With her nowhere around. You're practicing.
I was practicing. Yeah, no, I took a tumble. I took a bad fall from the... This is embarrassing, and it's not anything I'm particularly proud of. But I was climbing, attempting to get into my apartment, which I did not have keys for, and trying to get to my window on the second floor, and slipped and blasted my lower half up pretty bad.
You blasted your lower half?
You blasted your lower half, huh?
I did.
All over the ground?
Everywhere, dude. I couldn't get up. It was fucking awful, man. It was terrible.
You can't get it up?
I couldn't. You know, I was blasted.
Because he blasted.
It was all blasted.
After he blasted, he couldn't get
no,
up.
No, I landed on my 2 feet, and I landed on my ass, and like realized what it just fucking went down and tried to stand up and I couldn't and I'm so stupid.
Well, Kristen's glad you're okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for taking me to the doctor, Kristen. That was awesome. I was able to find out that nothing too terribly bad happened. But
just a few minor bones.
Yeah, just some bones got broken.
It's been a while since I've been thinking.
Now we're joined by 2 wonderful fellas.
Gray hair
between both of them. We got Zach and Aaron from Outer Minds. And Outer Minds are playing here on July 11th. How did you two meet?
We just met just through the same channels as I met every one of these. Just drinking, out at shows,
we're just
whatnot.
Friends of friends.
Well, you were in Sans Delude too, right?
That was like not really.
Wait, you were in that too.
I started. That. Me and him were.
He was
we started.
Delude.
Me, him, and Anderson.
We were just getting together, playing like stupid country songs in Chris Anderson's basement, and like it wasn't even supposed to be a thing. And then Headache City guys just needed a band for a night, and we're like, oh, fuck. So we just threw a few songs together.
How did Outer Minds like?
Outer Minds started after like. We after saying they knew had a bunch of people, and then like we got rid of a bunch of people.
But you two have always been kind of like the cohorts,
yes,
of the groups.
See, people have the tendency to like group Sang De Lu and Outer Minds together when they're two completely separate things. It just happens to be that
we're
Aaron, we're both in both, and then the switch over into Outer Minds came when we got Gina, Brian, and Mary. So like I don't even put the two together.
Well, I remember like when you were starting out Outer Minds, and like it always seemed to me like a really clear like mental change from what you've been doing. Like you had a totally different vision and like expectations for Outer Minds.
Yeah, so I wanted Outer Minds to be a little bit bigger and kind of like pull away from the whole garage rock, punk rock thing and like try and do something like outside of that a little bit, just because that's what we had always done, is playing like garage bands and punk bands and stuff, and just like get the fuck out of that little circle and try and do something a little different.
Well, how did you guys get Gina and Mary and
I knew Gina from just mutual friends. She was best friends with a girl that I was dating at the time and friends with other people. And she was in a soul band called the Deccas. And I really had this idea of like a three-person, like me, a male singer, and then two female singer, like harmonies going on. I wanted to have like this big, ridiculous wall of vocal sound.
He still wants me to sing.
I'd never heard of it before. I don't see it very often these days, I guess, but I've seen it in the past, and I always thought it was cool. But then, so I just found her. And Gina just looks cool. I mean, you know, she's like, this pretty cool. She's a pretty cool presence to have on stage as well.
Sure. Yeah. And then who's your drummer?
Brian Costello.
Heard of him.
He's a guy.
How did that happen?
When we were reforming and regrouping everything and starting this, like, newer thing, I knew that he was in between stuff because Johnny and the Limelights was kind of like starting to slow down a little bit from what I had talked to him about. I talked to Brian about joining Outer Minds right out front while I was smoking a cigarette in front of the bottle some show a couple years ago. That's how that happened.
Did both of you play in Lover?
Yes. I played in Lover for a short stint, you know. And
really?
Yeah.
I played a few with Lover, and I went on
tour. Why did they bring you on, then?
Rich brought me on because like he had a bunch of songs he'd written and he knew that I knew how to play a lot of different instruments, so he wanted me to like come in and arrange some different stuff.
How do you know how to play a lot of instruments?
I grew up playing like classical piano and flamenco guitar, and I have a master's degree in music, you know, classical music composition, you know,
yeah,
like
exactly.
I know like that kind of bullshit.
Well, how'd that translate back into Outer Minds?
I think because me and Mary both have a classical music background.
Yeah.
We don't like to do your basic 1-4-5, like what you'll see in a lot of rock and roll, where it's just like a 1-4-5 pattern, which is like a basic blues pattern.
How did you
and
find
I never
out that...
liked to do that either. Like, I don't. The Furies never really did that either.
I like to use weird chordal progressions.
How did you find out about Mary knowing that?
I didn't.
You two shared that.
I didn't. I just liked her. I just liked her piano style, and I knew that she had a definite like timbre to her voice. That's like cool.
But then eventually, you did.
Soon as I started playing with her, I'm like, I realized that she had like a classical background, which is kind of cool.
No, we grabbed her, and it wasn't.
I can speak to her musically without having to be like, play this chord, play.
Yeah,
like, I can. She has an ear enough because she's played long enough.
So it was kind of luck.
It was kind of luck, and it was kind of dumb luck, which was cool because it's nice to have people that actually have
her.
Proper musical backgrounds when you're trying to write stuff that has like kind of intricate parts to it.
Well, is Outer Minds putting out anything new soon?
Yes, we're currently working on our next LP. We should be getting ready to record soon.
Are you recording with anybody?
Yeah, I think we want to do with Sanford Parker.
I love the idea of you breaking out of what you've done recording wise and like working with someone else and doing it someplace else.
Yeah, man, there's never anything wrong with having a fucking like unbiased set of ears to be like, yeah, maybe not so much.
Who's not as invested as
exactly
as you are. Yeah,
where
for
it's
sure.
Like I usually record.
Have you ever
everything.
Worked with Sanford?
I've liked everything he's recorded. Even if I don't necessarily like the band, I like everything that he's like his aesthetic choices. I think when those kind of super succinct ideas sometimes come together and they aren't like what he hears and what I hear aren't together. Sometimes
yeah.
You can find that middle ground that makes it even better.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, that sounds good. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye. All right.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot, guys. Zach, you rule, and Aaron, charming as ever. And now we are joined by two wonderful sound guys, Matt and Jason. Matt has worked here for a very long time, and Jason is his protege who is now coming to his very own. So I want to get to the heart of how you started doing sound here at the bottle.
Or how did you start doing sound and then how did it bring you here?
Well, were you already doing sound before you started here?
Well, let me ask you another question.
All right. Hey, get in line. Get in line. This is how I started doing sound. My friend Kenny Rasmussen, also an employee of the Empty Bottle, he was doing sound at the Fireside Bowl. And through a mutual friend, I met him, and I walked up to him and I said, "Hey, man, this looks like fun. Can you show me?" And then I think a week later, I met Elliot Dix, who owns the PA here. And when I met him, it's kind of a funny joke that we still joke about. And he said, "Who are you?" And I said, "Oh, I'm Kenny. I'm Kenny's intern." And he said, "Kenny is an intern? Great. I'll be at the bar. You're running sound tonight." And I think that was maybe the second time I'd ever touched a soundboard.
And it was here?
No, I was at the Fireside.
Oh, okay.
And then within a couple weeks, I met Tony Lazara, who is Chicago sound legend. Tony, Chicago sound king. I met him, and he let me kind of shadow him for a long time here at the Empty Bottle. And I always joke that he taught me everything I know, and he said, not everything. I trained with him about twice a week for 2 years straight. He taught me how to do sound, how to drink, and
where babies come from.
And where babies come from.
How long ago?
Well,
that would be almost 10 years ago now. Maybe 9 years ago.
Is there a show that you recall as being your favorite show that you've done sound for here?
A favorite show here?
A band that you mixed that you were like, this is fucking rad.
All right, this is the show I often go back to when I think about why I've loved working here and why I've loved training here and why I feel so connected to it. It was a free Monday. I worked the free Monday series for a while. It was Sharon Van Etten opening, playing first of four, and then the band Festival, and then Disappears, and White Light.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a fucking great show. It was a real, like, weird dichotomy of bands. That was the perfect example of a really good Empty Bottle show where there are two totally weird, folksy kind of acoustic bands that were totally bizarre and weird, and then there were two rock bands that were psychedelic and dissonant. And
but, like, makes total sense. Like,
makes
all of
complete
us would want to see those four bands.
Yeah, all four bands were awesome and original in their own way and made for a really great show, and it was free.
How often are you away from home?
Me?
Or touring.
Oh, well, last year I was away from home about 100 days.
Who are you touring with?
Disappears. I did a bunch of tours with them.
Well, you're their guy, right?
I'm their guy.
Really? And they call you Coach.
That's Pelican. Pelican calls me Coach.
Sorry.
I did a bunch of touring with Pelican last year, too.
Did you go with them to Russia?
Yeah, actually, that was an interesting experience. We were flying there. I still couldn't believe that I was going to Russia. I remember thinking, wow, I'm being paid to go to Russia. We recorded a couple of the shows, and in, I think, a couple months, Pelican's releasing a Live from Russia album, and it's my first recording engineer credit.
Cool.
Really?
Live from fucking Russia.
Live from Russia.
Actually, the title is Live from Russia, but not Live from fucking Russia. In my mind, the biggest tour I ever did was with the Dirty Three, you know. That was my dream job. And I got it.
How did they find you?
I found them. They released the tour dates, and I saw they were playing Chicago, and I bought a ticket immediately, and then I thought, you know what? This band, I've been wanting to do sound for them. It'd been like a professional dream of mine. I said to myself, I got to try somehow to work for this band. I emailed a friend of mine who tours all over the world doing sound. A great dude, a bottle friend. And I said, hey, man, you know everybody. This band just announced a tour. I would kill it if they hired me. I would love to work for them. And within, I think, 10 minutes, he had emailed the drummer, because he already knew him, of course. And within a week, I got the job.
That's awesome.
And when I finally met the band the night before the tour started, I could not fucking believe it. I remember being starstruck on the first day of tour. Well, yeah, working for that band was a dream come true, and I'd love to do it again. Let us introduce Jason Balla, sound man extraordinaire,
heir apparent
to Coach, myself. Good to see you.
Thanks.
You were just interning upstairs and you thought you'd want to get into the sound, right?
Yeah, well, it's crazy. We worked at the Baltimore Round Robin, that Dan Deacon thing.
Was that an epiphany?
Yeah.
Church?
It's at this awesome church on the south
side.
That's
fucking cool.
And Matt was working. I was thinking about going to college for sound,
But then he's like, don't do that. He's like, I'll just teach you instead. So that's what I did.
Is that how it went?
That's drop out,
do a lot of drugs.
That's pretty much exactly how it went.
So, hey, I'm thinking about going to college. Don't do that. Come hang out with me.
Well, so then you start working here under Matt's tutelage.
Right. Yeah, I did the interning thing for like a year and then met Matt, or for however long. And then that was like 17 or 18? 17. And then I was like probably ready to work at like 20, but I couldn't do it.
What was the impetus behind Earring, and why start Knee-High 6 months after?
And why sing through a microphone through a guitar amp?
For an open-minded sound guy, that's a shitty question.
Zing!
open-minded sound guy. Okay.
My child.
So well, Earring.
So the reason why...
He's fallen so far.
Earring played a show, actually, was because I worked the show at the Bottle. It was Sick Alps and the Funs played with Widow's Peak. I don't know if you remember. It was a really cool show.
Yeah.
And I wound up meeting the Funs that night, and then I ran into them at a party the next, like, week. And they asked if I wanted to play the show with them, but I didn't have a band. And so I made Earring to play that show at Kohl's. And then after that, then they asked if we wanted to put a tape out that night. And we didn't have any songs. So we wrote some songs and we put the tape out. Yeah, so it actually all stemmed from a Bottle show, kind of.
Okay.
Or at least that relationship.
And the third member of Knee-High?
There's two, my other...
You got a guitar.
Those kids I met at college, because I did wind up going to school, but it just wasn't for sound.
Okay.
Because Matt was my professor. I also don't know if I ever answered your question, but you guys molded me as an adult.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a crazy zone.
That's a big statement.
It's really lovely when you think about how fucked up we all are.
Well, yeah, but you guys taught me how okay it is to be kind of fucked up.
Thanks a lot, Matt and Jason.
So handsome.
You guys are babes. And we appreciate your time. You can also catch Jason playing with Earring on June 9th with Verma, Morgan Delt, and Cross. Morgan Delt, incidentally, has an album out on Trouble in Mind, which is run by Bill and Lisa Rowe. How do we know them, Kevin?
Bill and Lisa Rowe. I believe they're directly responsible for the best part of this podcast.
What is the best part, Kevin?
The best part of this podcast, in my opinion, when I've listened to it, is the star drawing power, the sheer talent,
the talent of
Miss Ronnie Rowe, and she comes from great talent as well.
But yeah, I guess we've never really talked about who Ronnie is.
We never have.
We peripherally mentioned her parents because Kevin's a huge fan of Coca-Cola.
Yeah. And Lisa played in probably my favorite Chicago band that's ever existed, Headache City.
Suicide Summer.
Fuck yeah.
But yeah, so they have Ronnie Rowe, who's a delight and precocious. And
as you might have heard last episode, she interviewed Handsome Dick. And they brought her in for soundcheck, and so Ronnie got to meet Handsome Dick, and she brought her brother along, Arthur.
Yeah, we get on this interview, we get a little taste of young Arthur.
Arthur's getting a little jealous of Ronnie, so he wants to interject his little scream.
You can hear it in his tone.
He might want to take over the spotlight.
Yeah.
Her interview with this podcast is with King Khan, and when he found out that he was going to be talking to Ronnie, he said that he wanted to dress up to make it more fun and funny for her, and so she decided to dress up as well.
Because they did it via Skype?
All of
Ronnie's interviews are conducted at the Rowe compound.
The Rowe compound.
With Lisa, with her.
From what I understand, Bill isn't too far away when they're doing this.
But yeah, so we're fortunate enough to have Ronnie again on episode 5. Here's Ronnie with King Khan.
How are you?
Good.
I have several things that I wanted to show you. I have a This is my space mask. When I was a baby, I used to wear the same suit. But now I've grown. Really grown.
Where do you live?
I live in Berlin, Germany, with my family and my puppet friend here. Hi! How are you?
Good.
Thank you, Sprinkles.
Hi.
I was made by Miss Pussycat. She's a wonderful person who made me. I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. Oh, that's Freckles. That's my landlord.
What's your favorite thing about Berlin?
I would definitely have to say Turkish people. In Berlin, I really love these sandwiches they have here. They're made by at a Turkish restaurant. They're called doners. And they're very good. But you have to make sure there's no corn in it, because that's wrong. In Canada, I went to a doner place and they put corn in it. And, you know, I like to eat corn on the cob, but if I see corn in a sandwich or in a pizza, I don't think that that's the way that those things were supposed to be made.
Me too. Yeah, I don't even like it, corn on pizza.
You know what I really don't like is green mint jelly on hot dogs.
Yeah. How did you learn how to fly?
Well, it started off like most people, you know, flapping my arms wildly for hours and hours. But then after falling so many times, I decided to get some help. And so I joined a Buddhist monastery, and there they taught me how to meditate. And when you start to meditate, you know, it's when you can sit down and you turn off all information and you just close your eyes and you feel like this quiet, peaceful feeling.
I know how to meditate.
That's great, because meditation, if you meditate enough, then eventually you can just start floating. And at first, it was just a lot of bean eating and farting and floating on a cushion of stinky air.
What is it like to meet the Yoga Yabba guys?
Oh, wow. That was one of the biggest experiences of my life, definitely. I didn't realize how big they are in person, but they're even bigger than me. And I'm pretty big. So they're really tall, and they're very nice, and they like to hug and dance. And in my band, we have lots of nice costumes that my wife makes. So they were really excited about getting on stage and dancing with lots of horns and you know, it was really, really nice. And DJ Lance, he actually gave me a shirt. And I'll show it to you right now. I got to be an official member of the...
That's really awesome.
So I think that maybe, you know, if anything happens to him, I might have a chance to be to take over.
What's your favorite David Bowie song?
Ooh, that's really funny that you asked that, because we just did a cover of a David Bowie song for German Rolling Stone magazine. He did a cover of the song called Suffragette City, which I think might be my favorite David Bowie song. I think it's, because you know what, it's really punk, and it's really got great lyrics that are funny, and I really like music that comes from outer space, and I think he definitely does come from outer space.
What's your favorite song by The Who?
I like The Kids Are All Right.
I like The Boas the Spider.
Oh, that is a good song, too. I think their drummer was a really great guy, too.
What's your favorite thing to do with your kids is?
Favorite thing to do with my kids? Ooh, let's see. I like to make board games. Or, like, we kind of invent our own card games.
What was your favorite movie when you were a kid?
Ooh, wow. I definitely... Actually, Ghostbusters would definitely probably be one of them. I would have to say Goonies 2 was really a really good one. I remember The Never Ending Story, that was one of my favorites. Although some people say that there's a sad part that we shouldn't have watched as we were kids. I got to see the movie Halloween by mistake, and that really was not good for me to watch as a kid. I had to sleep with my grandma for like because she used to live with us. I used to just crawl into bed with her because I was so scared of monsters. But on a happier note, I actually did really love I loved My Little Pony also when I was a kid. And I mean, although it's not a thing that boys maybe would normally like, but I really liked it. I remember once they played the My Little Pony movie on TV on a Sunday, and I asked my mother to wake me up because I took a nap, and then she didn't wake me up. And when I missed the My Little Pony's movie, I got up and I cried. I think they're pretty fun. But Spider-Man, though, is my favorite all-time hero. I think he, because he's also from the same place where the Ramones come from, Forest Hills. I think you'd really like the Ramones because your name is kind of Ramone-ish.
Thanks, see you soon.
Thanks again, Ronnie, for showing us up. Now's the time where Kevin and I read reviews from the wonderful Matt C. As always, Kevin gets the funny positive, I get the funny negative. Kevin?
Alright. So our positive note from our good friend Matt C. is from the band Circles, which our beloved Kristen plays in. So that's July 11th, they got a record release show. And then there will be a featured guest who will go nameless. But he apparently wails. So Matt C. says about Circles, passion, that is really the only way I can explain this musical expedition. This band is like the Noah's Ark of music, encompassing all that is essential in the major and minor musical spectrum. When the lead singer, Sir Heaney, showed up, he emotionally exclaimed, "We brought most of our own gear this time." Radness! The bass player should be in Bollywood movies, because, like, whoa, boner. The keyboard player was cool. Although, before their set, she was carrying around a roll of duct tape for no apparent reason. Maybe it was a psychological metaphor for keeping it together. Either way, I actually like this band. They should play here again, but with good bands. Also would fit perfect as a headliner for Warped Tour or Ozfest.
And here's a negative. Of course, no bands were mentioned in the making of this review. I would call this type of music 9-to-5 rock. Sadly predictable song structures. The singer sounded like you put Eddie Vedder and Dave fucking Matthews on speakerphone and held it up to the mic, letting them casually converse about what makes their everyday lives worth living. I have a feeling these fellas work in cubicles, but it's only because I think these bros were all square.
Once again, Matt C. comes through.
Sorry.
Genius.
Spelled Eddie Vedder wrong. Thanks again for joining us, guys, for podcast number 5. We appreciate y'all listening. Thanks again to Zach and Aaron from Outer Minds. They're playing on July 11th with Circles and Bare Mutants. Thanks to Matt and Jason, our sound guys extraordinaire. Jason's playing a show with Earring on June 9th with Verma, Morgan Delt, and Cross. And then his other band, Knee-High, plays on July 14th with Landmarks, Milk Belly, and Jay Fernandez. And last but not least, thanks again to the wonderful Ronnie Rowe for interviewing King Kong, who's playing here on June 16th with Red Mass, The Swaves, and the Get Drunk DJs. Thanks a lot, guys. See you on number 6. We cool?
Anyway.
Johnny, and he's real nice and hangs out, and she's like, I hope he comes again, and his huge penis too.
Jesus Christ.